Hi, and welcome to the latest Boone Pickens podcast. I'm Peter McCollum. I've had the good fortune of being part of the Pickens Plan team from day one, and so I'm very happy to be here with Boone himself and with Jason Huntsberry, who helped run operations on the Pickens Plan campaign. Well, we were cogs in a big machine, and very little cogs at that. So as we talked about on some of the earlier podcasts, Tom Seinhorst, really, the guy who helped build the team and
oh, yeah. Tom, he did. He built the team. All right.
Yeah. So when, my first interaction with the Pickens Plan team was when Tom reached out to my good friend and colleague, Bob Gogarty, and I, and he said, hey.
Gogarty's not here anymore.
No. We were all saddened that when Bob passed away a little over 2 years ago, and that was why I wanted to talk a little bit. I'll start out today by talking about some of the early steps and challenges of the Pickens Plan and how the team worked together and some of the things that you and Bob did together working at from the beginning. So when Tom reached out and said, this is great, we've got this great opportunity, but we've got a big challenge in how to make it happen and how to cut through all of the noise that's out there and figure out how to talk about this idea that Boone has. And Bob and I had the opportunity to help out, help figuring out the message and help shaping the message. And you and Bob spent a lot of time early on.
But you know what the pitch was, very simply. Mm-hmm. We have two fuels, and one of them we have more than enough to fuel. And at the same time, it's the best fuel. And you guys said, wait a minute, how can it be the best? And I said, it's the best. We've got the most natural gas of any place in the world. Mm-hmm. And that was where we started, I think. And then you built the idea to fit that, and it worked.
Yeah, well, and a lot of that came from conversations between you and Bob when you said, hey, this is a really simple idea. And we said, well, that is a really simple idea, but let's see what people think about it. And so, as a team, we did focus groups all across the country and wanted to really understand what people knew about energy, what they thought about, what they were concerned about. And you were in a lot of those focus groups with us. And we were all hearing the same things, that people knew there was a problem, but they didn't know how big it was.
Peter, in the deal, we were all working on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all worked together, mm-hmm. and we really did. I never had a better team than we had on the Pickens Plan. we didn't.
I mean, we had a great team.
Yeah, we
it
did.
Was a great team.
Because the idea was simple. It wasn't hard to understand. It wasn't like, oh, wait a minute, there's something better here. We could have kerosene instead of natural gas. And no, there wasn't anybody plugging another fuel. The only one, a diesel, was our competitor, mm-hmm. I think we won.
Well, and I think so too. And I think that really the key to that and what came from those focus groups is we saw that people knew that this was not something that was going to be solved with a silver bullet. The big fight at the time was drill or more renewables, and people said, well, it's really both. We got to do everything. And what they were really hungry for was a plan and leadership, and that was where your voice really came in. And it all started when we launched in July 2008. It started with those first ads, the first TV ads where we came out and introduced the Pickens Plan and talked about the problem. And you were the star of those ads.
We don't need any more talk. We need action and we need a plan. And it's got to be the top priority of the next president and the next Congress. I'm T. Boone Pickens. I've been an oil man my whole life, but this is one emergency we can't drill our way out of.
Back in 2008, when we started out with the first ad that said, did you know that back in 1973 we imported 24% of our oil? Today it's 73% and climbing every minute. Those ads, made you a very big voice overnight, and that was when the Pickens Plan really started to take off.
They didn't believe that we could do it.
Yeah.
It's what it was. Mm-hmm. And then we had a lot of good breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, horizontal drilling, fracking, everything, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. was a big payoff for it. But Jason, you came on board when?
I did, right at the beginning. So you had just cut that first ad. I got a call from a colleague, a political colleague, who said, hey, there's this guy in Dallas, Texas. His name is Boone Pickens. And admittedly, Boone, I had to do some research. And I said...
I wish I hadn't said that.
I know, right? It's bad.
But we were honest all the way through.
All the way through.
That's right.
And he said he's got a great idea to push renewable energy and save the country from itself and where we were headed with foreign oil. And he called me into town, Boone being the coach. I like to think Boone is the coach, and you had sort of Tom as the quarterback. And, you know, I was on the road. He put me on the road. Let's figure out what these events are. Let's get these events. We've got to do events in all these states. You remember? You were on the road every... I felt like it was every day for 2 years.
Before you go to that...
Right.
All right, I'm going to stick something in.
Okay.
You remember, I spent $150 million...
You spent...
On... Just a second. On wind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I was a believer, and that was is really support for the deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think
excuse me, you were going, you had a point.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it was what I loved about watching the groundswell of support was being in the middle of nowhere in Kansas and seeing 3,000 people in the middle of the day, blue collar workers, white collar workers, showing up to meet an 80-year-old billionaire from Texas to hear about renewable energy. I've never seen anything like that before.
I think that that's a good segue into one other thing I wanted to talk about. I think that was so important is, like you said, that you invested $150 million in wind. And from the beginning of the Pickens plan, part of what made it so powerful to people was the honesty that you brought to this issue and in talking about it, that in the first ad you said, I've been an oil man my whole life, but this is one emergency we can't drill our way out of.
And I said further, I don't care what it is. If mm-hmm. it works, let's use it. If it's American, we'll use it.
Yep, and those were such powerful things to say, and people really needed to hear that, both to know that this was a well-thought-out plan, and this really was about the country as a whole, and saying things like that this is an emergency we can't drill our way out of were just as important for people to hear as it was for them to hear that, hey, a battery can't power an 18-wheeler, and if we're going to be serious about addressing foreign oil and diesel emissions, then we've got to do something about 18-wheelers. And I think that honestly is
what's... Peter, you remember what I told you. Mm-hmm. A battery can't run an 18-wheeler.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they needed to hear that. And it was because you were such a strong voice and were such a credible person on this issue that it made it very powerful to people. And I think along with that honesty came a certain level of toughness that people knew that they were going to have to hear hard things. And, you know, as members of the team, I know that we were always held to a very high standard, and if we hadn't done our homework and if we didn't know the answers to the tough questions, we were going to hear about it.
It was a Jeopardy game every day. It was a new trial. What was Boone going to ask us? And you really had to be ready. You really had to be on your toes.
Well, you had to remember that it's cheaper, it's cleaner, and it's ours.
And it's ours. It's domestic. That's right. It's ours.
Every time you got in a corner, just give them
the three.
Yeah.
Well, so, Jason, you were on the road a lot more than I was, traveling around with Boone, doing town hall meetings and everything else, and there was a lot going on there. Was there ever a time where you got yelled at on the traveling?
Are you kidding me? I feel like Jay probably set this one up just so we could hear about it, but it was Louisiana, and I can't remember where we were in Louisiana, and I had gone to this large conference center. And we were waiting for Boone to get there, waiting for the team to get there.
It was in Lafayette.
It was in Lafayette. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And whatever the point of arrival was supposed to be, I was not there. So Jay calls me on the phone and he says, where are you? He was a little bit less delicate than that, but he said, where are you? And I said, I'm here. And he said, no, you're not here. I'm here and you're not here with me. And, you know, I heard about it a little bit. I heard about it. You know, we weren't in the same place. We ran. It was
how close were you?
Oh, Boone, I was all the way to the other side of that building.
You were in the building.
I was in the building. Yeah. Y'all were right outside, and I was nowhere
to be found.
I thought
you were telling me you weren't even in the state.
It'd be good. I could have been in a different state or a different city, so at least I was close.
Was that the same trip that the plane landed in the wrong airport or in the wrong city?
Was that Las Vegas? when was the plane landed in the wrong area? Or was it Louisiana? I'd like to say, Peter, that I think we had a pretty good track record. After how many
Las
events
Vegas
we did.
Las Vegas is easy. I mean, you just have one airport.
That's right. Yeah. Right. You got McCarran and that's it, right?
That's it.
It was as much about learning about the energy business, of which I had no idea. It was much about learning about oil and gas and Boone's passion as it was about learning about life. So Boone has this way of offering these little tidbits on the road. And I remember I learned it the hard way one time. So
yeah, I've had exactly the same experience, that I've learned an unbelievable amount about energy over the last 10 years and a whole host of other things, including learning a bit about hunting in Texas. And there was a time that we were out, and I don't remember if it was Pampa or Sweetwater.
No, it was north of Pampa.
North of Pampa.
Yeah, that's where my ranch is.
Yeah, and I guess it's the snake capital of the United States, our rattlesnake
capital. No, Sweetwater, okay. You got that right.
Well,
it's
the
snake capital.
Well, regardless.
But there's quite a few.
So I learned something important about the type of boots that you're supposed to wear if you're hunting out there, and it was from a story that you told, Boone. And can you remind me what that story was about? You were out hunting.
I can remind you, yes. Okay. What was it? It had wire mesh in the boots. Mm-hmm. This is a true story. And if a rattlesnake strikes that, they hang up on the wire. They don't ever penetrate your leg. Mm-hmm. And so I told the story about I was out there and I'm used to being for a rattlesnake to strike your leg. And it would hang up on the boots. So I got it, and then right quick, I got another one. So I had two of them there on my right side, and then I get one on the left. And I said, well, this is interesting. Let's see how many I can get on. Now, what you got to do, you walk slowly and don't shake them off. And so, have you heard the story?
I haven't heard this one, actually.
Okay, so then we get two more before we get back to the truck. So I have three on my right and two on the left, and I get back, and Keith's waiting on me. He comes to meet me about 50 or 100 yards away.
Right.
He said, good gosh, said, I saw you walking. I knew you had a snake. But he said, I didn't know you had five. I said, well, you should have asked me. And so then he killed all five of them. And now, is that a true story?
Yeah.
No,
not at all.
No,
okay.
It's not a true story.
Well, parts of it are true. There are rattlesnakes in West Texas
and
in the panhandle.
And I had one on there.
You had one. Keith is the ranch manager.
Yeah.
That's true. And it's in Roberts County. Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Roberts County, Texas.
And that's about it. On your out in Roberts County, is that where you have the car that runs on natural gas, or is that in Dallas?
Both.
Or do you
places.
Still have? Oh, both? Yeah. So is that, what kind of car is that? The natural gas car that you have?
That it's a Chevrolet.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't, I don't think that we've seen that one in a little while, but.
Been a while.
Yep.
I said, it's not a Chevrolet in Dallas. In Dallas, it is a.
Is it a Honda?
It's a Honda.
It's a Honda Civic,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and that's the one is written on the outside of it.
It's got the Pickens Plan logo on the outside.
Yeah, it does. It has
and you could fill it up right there in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So.
So we know that natural gas can run an 18-wheeler. We know that it can run a Chevrolet and a Honda, and that it's cleaner and it's cheaper and it's ours. So I think that we've learned quite a bit more today.
It was a great experience for me. And honestly, you all don't know how much you taught me about this business. Now, you had a good subject, mm-hmm. natural gas.
Right.
I mean, and I know that if you've got a good subject, you can sell it.
And if you got a good mouthpiece, it's helpful too. I've got to add that part.
Well, yep. Okay, I mean, but you had a good subject, and you sold the material, and we did win.
Absolutely.
We just didn't win as quick as I wanted to, but I'm still hanging around.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna be there long enough to see the conclusion and see all natural gas. All trucks.
You might be well into your 90s, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. So it's coming.
It's going to happen.
Well, and we've done a lot over a long time. And when we first started working together, I was a young single guy, and now I'm married and have two kids, and I like to joke that I've been married to this longer than I have my wife. But as we're 10 years in now, or 9 years in, we've made a lot of progress, but you've always said that the finish line was going to be much further down the road and that you wouldn't be a lot around to see the biggest parts of it. But so I guess as a final question that I'd like to ask is, what do you hope will be the legacy that this work leaves behind, that we've done as a team?
It's cleaner and it's cheaper. I mean, it should be its own legacy. It should all happen once. You already have the problem with the Volkswagen. I don't know whether you saw that or not, but they came out, Volkswagen did, and said, we need to come clean. We have cheated on the emissions. Mm-hmm. And they really cheated on the emissions. They used every angle they could to get it down clean enough. Well, it didn't in a class with natural gas.
Not at all.
And so now there have been two others, and I don't want to mention any of the names because I'm not sure, I'm not positive about them. Been two others have been admitted that they too have had to cheat on emission. So we're going to win for the right reasons. That is, we got a cleaner fuel and it's a cheaper fuel. And it's
ours. Abundant. There's so much of it.
That's right.
So. Yep. Well, thank you, Boone. It has been an honor and a privilege to work with you all this time. And Jason, it's been great to work with you.
Okay, let's do it again in 10 years.
That's fine.